Welcome to the 100th Monkey Radio with Tom and Ramon. That is the100thmonkeyradio.com. Check out the website, guys. We've got a lot of stuff going on there, so you can check out who we got coming up next in our shows, and also can check out all our archives and all our past shows. This will be show number 36. We are recording this on August 18th, and it will air on August 24th. So just guys, give you a heads up there. Want to mention, we've had a few critics on some of our mainly through the YouTube stuff. I haven't got any email criticizing yet, but we had a couple critics about the way Ramon and I run the show, and all I have to say is, hey, we have never once claimed to be professionals at this, and we're just a couple of guys. Just if condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance. So if you guys think that you guys can do better, well, by golly, get on out there. I mean, more voices out there, the better. And let's get some more information out there. I'm more than happy to see more people get out there and do exactly what Ramon and I are doing. Get your voice out there.
Yeah, and actually, the majority of guests are so easy to find. For example, our guests coming up. Anything else, Tom, before I go into?
Yeah, well, you know, Ramon, I haven't talked to you offline about this yet, but the last couple of days, boy, there is something in the air. I just feel something building again. Something building for release once again. So I don't know what it is. I just figure I'd throw that out there, though. So,
well, it's a good thing we have a professional on who knows a lot about those things, so we can ask her about it.
Okay. Yeah.
Don't forget, we work on donation. Did you mention that already?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, so we work on donation. Me and Tom do work, and any donations you can throw our way is highly appreciated. We don't ask for much. Let's see. I'm working. We have Twitter now, so if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can. We have a Facebook, and Tom has a YouTube, so you can click on that. The Twitter button might not be working, but I'm working on that at the moment. And I'm going to start doing little news segments. It'll be quick, and I have links to it, so you could just link to it, because remember, we're not professionals. So, there's a group out there. Some people call them hacktivists. Some people have all sorts of names for them, and their group is anonymous. There's a YouTube video on the main page that you can check out. Anonymous has been doing, dare I say, some great things. I would
definitely some pretty amazing things.
Yeah, for example, they hacked into, or they got into the Monsanto and brought down their website. They've been doing that to a few companies. A few corporations, anybody they seem that has been abusing the power. So on that end, you know, there is people out there doing something. And, you know, you have people like us who are talking about it. Then you have some people who, on a spiritual sense, are doing great things. And then you have these guys. One of the last things they did was they sent a letter to NATO. And basically just letting them know that, you know, we're not going to take this abuse anymore. So you can look into it. I have links to everything. I really want to get into our next guest. And our next guest is just, let me scroll up. Oh, where is it? There we go. This is the professionalism we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. That would be it.
Yeah. Which now, for some reason, I can't find on the page. You want to go ahead and read that for me, Tom? Because I just can't find it now.
Well, I don't even
have. Oh, there it goes. Got it. Enilia was born in Chile in 1966 to a very politically active parents, and have been involved in assisting light workers and light warriors in their path, as well as exploring and investigating what the dark side is doing on the planet. Have also been developing and investigating tools and practice which are quick and efficient in raising of the awareness and vibration of individuals and the planet. The journey was not without its dangers and injuries, but has been worth it. On January 2010, I received a request from Source to go public, which I have done. This assignment has been growing steadily, and earlier this year, 2011, after another request from Source, I teamed up with Bill Ryan and have since launched into the public work together. Welcome to the show, Inelia.
Thank you. Thank you both, Tom and Ramon. It's lovely to be here.
Oh, it is fantastic to have you on. Besides that little blip of who Inelia is, would you tell us who you are?
I'm just a person who's here to raise the level of vibration of the planet. I know there's millions of people out there doing this work. And I think each individual does it their own way. For example, you both inform and bring information to the masses and put light onto subjects that are not being covered by the everyday media, like the TV and stuff. And there'll be other people who are healers. There's people who are artists. And everybody brings on their own method of raising the vibration of the planet, whether it's through beauty, love, and inspiration. And basically, what I was originally given as a job was to basically give support to those people who are here and have been here for a long time to make their work more effective and give them tools so that they can use in order to help themselves and to be able to function in a better way throughout their lives and do their job better. And like you read on the blurb there, it was only very recent that I was asked to go public as myself. I did have work on the internet before, and I have had some books published, but it was always, my name was always tiny at the end, and I always thought it was the work that was important, the messages and the tools. But the request was really to come out as a person and present myself to the public, really. And that's what's basically changed from last January to today.
I recently, maybe a week or 2 weeks ago, it's very vaguely, I had a dream where I was talking to you.
Ah, yes.
But I can't remember what we were talking about.
Yeah, I've had quite a lot of that, actually. Quite a lot of people are able to communicate to that level through dreams, or when they're in their meditations, they will have conversations. But it's basically, I'm thinking that it's not really me, the person Inelia. It's just that Source comes through in a way that we can understand, and in a way, like, give us messages and synchronicities for us to move forward. And sometimes they will come, or it will come with a face, you know?
Yeah. Now, I saw, if you guys don't know who she is, I suggest you listen to the Bill Ryan on Project Avalon's interview. Amazing, amazing interview. Well, that's how we discovered you.
Thank you.
How, this is actually your first incarnation on this planet.
Yes, it is. The being, one of the things that I teach in my website is, like, the being and the body are actually different entities. The body having its own intelligence, and that's why we can tap into it and get information and things. So the body has had, my body has had incarnations on the planet before. It's quite an old kind of entity that's been around quite a bit and brought in a lot of tools and with it that I was able to use throughout my life. But me as a being is not just the first incarnation on the planet, but it's actually the first time that I've been a singularity. That's how I describe it. I haven't really had a track. And once I'm done with this work, I will be going back to Source. Basically, I have no attachment to being a singular identity or soul, as it were.
It's funny. So
you're more, what I'm kind of understanding here is that you would be like a manifestation of collective consciousness.
That's a good way to put it. I was thinking collective consciousness is actually a singularity, even though it has in it billions of people. It is a collective, so within it is a group which is separated from something else, right?
Right.
So that would be out of my experience as well. This would be the first time that I'm within a collective.
Okay.
That kind of reminds me of what somebody said to us, Tom. I don't know if you remember this. We were talking to Scott Deans, and the way he was explaining is, your hand is this consciousness, and each one of these fingers are these single consciousness that would make up like our souls. Is that something correct, that analogy?
Yeah, I would say that. Yes, that's a very good
Okay.
example.
Now, I've heard stories, and I even spoke to, I talk about this a lot on the show, one little girl where I was asking her if she remembered her past life, and she told me yes, that she was a rainbow body before she incarnated, and this was her first time
Wow.
on this planet. She's around 5 years old. So is there a lot of my question to you, is there a lot of these new souls incarnating because they have no karma and they're higher vibration?
Definitely on the planet right now, there's millions of people coming in and have been coming in for the past few decades, actually, from other planets and other planets which have different paradigms. So they wouldn't have things like karma or that duality kind of experience. And they're coming in to help the planet going to a higher vibration. So they bring in all that purity and light in just by being here. You know, that's their main mission. They come in from all sorts of different planets and different dimensions as well. I've met quite a few people who it's the first time in their third dimension. And they bring that purity and via higher vibration. So just by existing among us, they raise the level of the collective.
Right.
Yeah. I want you to go a little bit into some of your stuff as a child, because you remember some amazing things and wasn't even sure that you were doing them. For example, when you were helping the gentleman, the Portuguese gentleman.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I wasn't actually aware. That was very interesting because when I was a young teenager, between 12 and 14 or 15, my mother used to hold parties regularly at the house. And they were like this type of party, everybody's bringing something in. And there was, because I'm more introvert than extrovert, I would go into the rooms and I would just scan the room and see who was vibrating a little lower. That's the only way I could describe it. It was like their energy was slightly less or more kind of grayish color or something like that. It's very difficult to kind of translate it into a body kind of awareness of bodies of colors and vibration. It was just more like a knowing. And I would simply go to them and sit next to them. And then just by being there, sometimes just chatting to them, their vibration would go up. That's all I knew. And there was this gentleman that was sitting on one of the corners. And I saw him. He was quite like the vibration was not right. So I went to sit with him. And we had a really long conversation. I was sitting there for an hour or two, I think. And then he turns around to me and he says, "Where did you learn Portuguese?" And I said, "Oh, I've never learned Portuguese. I don't know how to speak Portuguese." And he says, "No, but you've been speaking Portuguese to me for the past hour, 2 hours, or whatever." And at the time, I thought, "Okay, this guy's a little bit weird. Just get up and go," you know. So I said, "Oh, it's lovely talking to you," whatever, and I just walked away. However, he was from Brazil, and I later learned that he'd had a terminal illness, and he'd gone back to the doctor, and they told him that he was cleared, he was cured, and In Brazil, they do have a lot of knowledge about healers, and they do know about some people who can speak other languages without having learned them before. I can't remember the word for that. There's a word for it. He put two and two together, and he came back, and he thanked my mother and myself. He was sure himself that I'd had something to do with it, and I've always said, well, you know, first of all, up to this moment, I'm sure I was speaking Spanish to him right at the time, because I didn't have any knowledge or no. I mean, I don't speak Portuguese, and I don't remember it as having spoken Portuguese. But his own recollection of it was that I spoke to him in Portuguese, and then he put two and two together, and that caused a lot of other people to come to my mother's house to talk to me. I learned afterwards why. At the time I was too young, I didn't know what was happening. That's basically, it's not about when I mean, people do still report that there's healings and things when they've been with me, but I always point out that it's not about, I don't do anything. Right. So it's not about people coming to me and saying, look, help me, I've got cancer or whatever, heal me, because it's never somebody else who heals the person. The person is completely powerful in their ability to heal themselves. And I think that there's ways that can, you know, obviously there are healers on the planet as well that can accelerate the healing of others. But from my perspective, it was more a matter of being in a space where the healing could take place. I was in a space where that healing could take place, so the other person was then able to do it.
Right. You become the catalyst for them to be able to heal themselves.
Right, yes.
Right, yes. And that's kind of the way I see the way healing works, too.
Yeah, exactly. The catalyst, that's right.
So I'd like to shift gears over into spirit guides, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how can we know that we are sensing, or what we are sensing from a spirit guide is not internal dialogue or even a manipulative entity?
That's a really important question. And this is where the body comes in, because one of our greatest tools is our physical body and our energy body, our emotional bodies as well. And once we fully connect with our bodies, we can really tell when something is from ego, when something is from, like you said, somebody who's not benevolent, perhaps, trying to give us messages, or even artificial means, which they're using nowadays at a mass scale, artificial means of sending messages out. Or it really is our higher self or our source, right? There's a very, very easy little exercise we can all do. And basically, we train ourselves to communicate with our body this way. And it's very simple. You tell yourself a lie, and you feel the body, how it feels when you tell yourself a lie. And then you tell yourself a truth, and then see how that feels. So step by step, we start training ourselves on how to read both energies. For example, if you say, my name is Bob, right? That feels a bit strange, and there'll be things in the body that will activate. You know, I get a kind of weird, I don't know how to describe it. It's more like a kind of a liquidy feeling in my tummy when I say, my name is Bob, right? And I know that that's an untruth, and it's not coming from source. When I say my name is Inelia, then that feels right. And, you know, it's like at the body level, it's correct. And that's how we train ourselves. And it has to be one's own training of discernment in order to see. But I think, and once we do that, we can start reading other messages and other people the same way.
It's kind of sort of kinesiology.
Yes, that's right.
Self kinesiology.
Yes.
Yeah, actually, that's the exact same exercise I do The only exception is that I use extremes. So, for example, I would tell myself, should I become a serial killer? And then I get this sharp pain in my stomach, and then the opposite, should I help people be loving, kind? And then, like, my stomach gets warm.
That's a really good one. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Using
And
extremes.
the one thing with that, it's also, I've heard stories of people who, this one story I heard where this guy was walking in a forest somewhere, and he was gonna follow the river down, but his stomach started to hurt because he was doing the same kind of training. So he went down the other way, and what happened was there was a flash flood. So if he would have
Wow.
gone down the river, it would have killed him.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally resonate with that. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so in one of your articles on your website, you talked about a firewall that's within our fields that prevent us from personal growth and ascension. Will you explain this firewall and what its purpose is and how do we remove it?
Sure. The firewalls, actually, they're like programs that we have built into ourselves, or they have been placed there by others in our lives. It could be a belief. The belief, for example, that I come across the most often is I can't help myself. So, for example, somebody who can't heal themselves or who can't help somebody else, they say, I can't do it myself, right? I'm powerless. And that's a belief system that has been ingrained in us through our society, right? The elite want us to think that we're powerless and that we can't help ourselves, that we can only heal ourselves if we take drugs or go to the doctors, and all these things take our powers away. So that could be one example. Other things are actual beliefs that come from karmic kind of previous lifetimes, or in this lifetime, some trauma has happened and that has left an energy signature behind. And those are firewalls as well. The others that I've come across are also, they seem to have been placed there, always, it appears, with the person's agreement at some point in their past life track. And it's basically just there, it feels sometimes metallic or has a very dull gray color or something that they feel inside their energy field or their physical body. And then they have to, I teach a process that's really quite easy. You basically breathe in a few times and then you feel your body and you look for that, and you look for it by saying the sentences, I can't help myself because I'm powerless, or I can't help myself because I don't know how. Or I can't meditate anymore because, and then you say that because, and then you find where does that energy vibrate in your body? Where do you feel it? So is it something that you feel in the back of your head, in your tummy, in your throat, on your legs? Somewhere it just vibrates. It's like when you feel it, you kind of feel the vibration. Once you have the vibration, then you just look at it. And you observe it and you allow it to be there, you welcome it because it's been there serving for a long time. And then you allow it to be there. And if possible, you make it, see if you can make it grow and get really big. And then you ask that energy if it wants to communicate with you, if it wants to give you a message or anything or not. Sometimes we get like a visual or a memory or a word, something that will come up, and then you just thank it, and then you release it because these energies are stuck as well. It's like enslaved energies that we can release and free back into source. So we make the intention and we release it. Sometimes it goes straight away, sometimes it hangs on and we can process it through. After a few days, we go back to it every day and until it's gone. And if something that's really stuck, then we ask our higher self or our guides to come in and give us a hand with it too.
Interesting.
That's
I'm gonna have to try that one out.
yeah,
Yeah,
me
it's really
too.
Yeah.
That's actually really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're a little bit different situation here, as far as your incarnation, or not necessarily. Oh, I suppose there's many more that are similar to where you're at, but do you actually have what most of us would call guides?
Yes. When being becomes a human, we come in with a full entourage. That's what I call guides and higher self and everything. The physical body, the emotional body, the ego body, the energy bodies. The full package has to be in place in order to work within the human collective. Otherwise, if we're not human, we can't really work with the collective because it's part of those free will rules of the existence here in the planet.
Right.
You can influence individuals, but they have to have the agreement of having been influenced from outside. But for somebody to do an effective work or raise the level of the vibration of the collective, they have to be fully human. So, yeah, there's definitely an entourage with me.
So, I want to get a little bit into the what I would call the really important work that you do. And not saying that helping people is not important, but the dealings with the dark side
that
you've had. There's one in particular. Please tell us where there's a gentleman sitting on a throne.
Bringing yes. down the king of the world.
Yes.
Yes, that was an interesting one because it actually, when I did a little bit of research about it, when I get information, I like to go into the internet and do research or ask other beings, other people who I work with, individuals who are very psychic and very or mystical workers to see if they've had any dealings with these other beings or whether they know what this they're about. And there was an actual person, a man, who had a physical body and worked within one of the main religions here on the planet. And he was into a lot of very, very dark stuff. And it was an interesting assignment because I personally resisted it for, I'd say, a few weeks because it was very, very unpleasant to be with him at a human level, an emotional or even energetic level, because he was showing me all the stuff he was up to and it was just horrendous, you know? So I really didn't want to hang out with him. And then it was a friend of mine who I went to and I said, look, this is what's happening right now. Obviously, I have free will as a human being as well. So I don't have to take on assignments if I really don't want to. But I was thinking about it because obviously I knew it was important. And she looked at it and she said, I feel that you do need to hang out with this guy and listen to see what he's saying. And the way that came forth was that, you know, he was a person, he considered himself to be the most powerful man on the planet. This is how he considered himself to be. And he was the incarnation of a very, very, very dark being. And he was doing all this stuff and nobody knew about it. Nobody knew about him. Nobody knew how powerful he was because he was working behind the scenes. And there was an ego there that wanted to be recognized. And even if it was a very small audience, he wanted to be heard. He wanted somebody to know who he was and what he was doing. So basically it was like, I'd like you to write my memoirs, you know. And we hang out at astral level, for lack of a better word, for a few weeks. And I was actually writing down all his data. I still have it on my computer somewhere. And then I kept feeling that it was just about being with him, right? It wasn't about anything else. And then I had the experience where I was minding my own business and I was pulled out of my body and into this other place. And it was a huge mansion. There was somebody outside who was wanting to go in and I discouraged him because he was afraid. And if you're going to somewhere that dark with any type of fear or judgment, you won't last 5 seconds. So I went in and I walked around and I found him. He was sitting in a kind of throne and he looked at me and I sat next to him and I looked at him and I was just looking. At that moment, there was no judgment. There was just experiencing. So it was very much like, oh, you know, this is what evil looks like or feels against my skin. It wasn't judgment at all. And so we just sat there for quite a long time. And then all of a sudden, I felt from him the request for clemency. And at that moment, everything just opened up. It was like I was moved out of the way a little bit. And this huge amount of life force and love and compassion went through me and into him. And he was just completely transformed into light. He was completely morphed into something else. It was beautiful, beautiful. And at that moment when that was done, then I was back in my body. And of course, being back in my body, obviously I'm human. And I go, that's not fair. You know, he's after all, he's done. You know, all the judgment and all the ego came in to judge this person and all the actions of Source to give him complete clemency, right? And because as humans, we don't do that very easily. But it just lasted a few seconds and then it was comprehension. It has nothing to do with karma or punishment or judgment. It's about raising the level of the vibration of the planet. And if you turn a dark being into light, that raises the vibration, right?
Yeah,
a lot.
That's all you need. Yeah, that's what we need. That's part of the work, you know. That's
yeah.
part of the work.
Now, for a lot of us, we've had like really strange dreams in the sense, I wouldn't say similar, but just something along the lines. How can we tell when we're actually doing something like that, or is just a dream and our fears are coming out, or is it a combination of both?
Well, the dreams, they have a... Well, you will know. There's a knowing when there's something that's happening in the matrix with other beings involved. And when it's just something that you're processing yourself within your own subconscious mind or conscious mind. One of the things that I also teach is that when you have a powerful dream and you wake up, whether it's in the middle of the night or in the morning, and you're emotionally affected by it. So, for example, you're disturbed or you feel fear or anything like that. It's a perfect opportunity for one to do the processing. You know, it's like just going into that emotion and just allowing it to be there, welcoming it and reintegrating it, you know, because that's our body's also a way that our we can start raising the level of the planet by processing our own stuff. But with regards to the question, yes, it's a kind of knowing. It's a quality of the experience that you just know.
It's like that dream I had about 5175.
You'll have to tell me about that. I haven't read that about that.
Well, I woke up. I was in a bed. I woke up and it was in bed. And I was naked. And I was in a strange place. And I got out of bed and started rummaging around in this room trying to find some clothes. And there was a strange, the wall was like a whole big wardrobe. And I had these things that were like pods that pulled out. And anyways, I rummaged through them and finally found some clothes. And I got dressed. And then I was looking around the room and I saw a computer screen. And I went over to the computer screen and I was completely lost on how to operate it. There was no mouse, no keyboard. And I just had no idea how to interface with this thing. And I turned around and there was another computer screen on a little desk that was on a little island in this room. And it had a mouse with it. And I was like, hey, a mouse. So I was looking to see what day it was. For some reason in the dream, I wanted to know what day it was. I call it a dream, but it had that feeling. And so I opened up the calendar on there, and it was August 17th of 5175. And I got up from the screen and walked towards the door, and the door slid out of my way. And now this whole place felt really metallic. It felt metallic. It wasn't like I was in a wooden house, you know. And the door slid out of the way, and I walked out into a big hallway, and there were all sorts of people walking around. About half of them seemed to be in some form of a uniform, and I didn't really feel military, but it was a definite uniform that about half of the people were wearing, and the other half were wearing like random civilian type clothes, and long corridors, and I felt like I was either in a craft in space or I was underground, and I kind of leaned toward the craft in space. But yeah, that one was one of those that had the flavor of something besides just a random construct of the subconscious mind.
Yeah, definitely, I can see that.
Yeah, I personally think that he was actually taken there only because he woke up naked to get dressed.
Right.
But anyway, Tom, you had a question that was really good.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I was looking at polarity and the duality of this paradigm that we're in. Now, I wonder about the secret societies that appear to be on the dark or shadow side and the manipulations or control they appear to exert within society. My question to you is, are there or is there a secret society that balances out this shadow, i.e. the Brotherhood of Light or whatever? And if so, I'd really like to be put in contact with them.
That is a very interesting question. And one of the things that I'm a little bit different to others is that I don't have much of a inquiring mind. I don't have, it's like curiosity. So for me, that's a question I've never heard before. It's completely new.
Good.
And it's really interesting. I'd love to look into that. I don't have an answer. I do feel the presence of an organization which works for balancing the light of the collective who are working very diligently towards the freedom of freeing the collective from enslavement, right? But I have personally not met any of them or have had any conscious dealings with them. Yeah, but I sense that they're there.
Yeah, I sense there's something there too, and it's been there a long time, just like all these other groups have been there. So
yes, that's right.
Okay, let's see. Now, here's a question from one of our listeners, Bayon Cortez. Is that, did I say that right, Ramon?
Bayon Cortez.
How does someone know when they are following the right and true path and are in league with the powers of light?
From my experience, I'd say because it is something when you're doing whatever it is that you're doing will give you joy and will energize you. That is a good indicator that you're on the right path, right? It's very much what we were talking about earlier. We have to be able to discern ourselves through that, through our own bodies and feelings, if it's the right path or if it's not the right path. We can't really take somebody else's word for it. We really need to discern it for ourselves.
Yeah. What I'm seeing out there a lot now is that there are a lot of the really fluffy, feel-good groups that are out there that are... how shall I put this? Less than honorable, and are maybe leading people astray. But they put out that goody-goody feeling, you know. They put out that good vibration to people.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an underlying current. That's sometimes difficult to discern.
Yeah, with regards to groups, I've written quite a bit about that. I don't form groups myself, and I don't believe in groups. I network with people,
right?
You know, and I have an audience, but I don't have, and I always refuse to join groups or be part of groups as far as I can. The reason being, because as soon as you form a group, you have to go into the paradigm of us versus them, right? You have to make us an us and them kind of separation. And also, I found that once a group forms, even if it's through originally very benevolent intentions, often there will be people who will be attracted to run the group who are there for power, right? Power over others rather than empowering others.
Right.
I've had a very, I've had personal experience with a cult myself. And I was very pleased when you talked about the group Anonymous, because I've had, I've worked with them in the past. And I like the fact that they're not a group, you know. They have no one leader. They don't have, it's like they exist, but they, I mean, people talk about Anonymous as a group, but they really aren't. They're just a network of individuals, which is, you know, because
yeah.
There's no group, there's no way to dismantle them, really.
Yeah, I found their work just 100%. It's very assuring of the stuff that they're doing.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like, yes, people are waking up. Not everybody's sleeping as they want us to believe sometimes. So it makes me personally feel good. Now, speaking with them, and you work with them on a spiritual level, are they, for lack of a better word, are they being guided by higher power, or is this just on a physical level?
Well, that's the whole thing. You see, most of the people that I met from Anonymous are these young kids who came in and they're here for the first time on the planet, right?
Mm.
And they're very high vibration, and the adults as well, and they just know what's right and wrong, then they feel it inside of themselves. They stand up for it, and they'll do one little thing, you know, and because there's so many of them, that one little drop will just add up to a full cup, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've only had positive experiences with them. I haven't had any type of negative experience. They were very respectful. They were very law-abiding, peaceful. The protest that I went to see with them, they followed all the rules. They calmed people down. There was obviously people who were sent to try and make them fight or be violent. And they were so obvious. Their energy was so different. It was like, okay, so they put somebody into clothes that they think would be young and in costume and sent them in to try and make trouble. And they would go around saying, you know, don't listen to that person. He's, you know, he's here to make trouble. We're not gonna play that game. You know, it's like they were really, they're amazing. I mean, what my experience has been really amazing with them, basically. That's all I can say. I haven't had any negative experience with them whatsoever.
Nice.
Yeah. And with regards to groups, I mean, I do understand that there's a lot of people who need that type of support that one can only find in a group. And my advice to those individuals would be, as long as the group and their leader is empowering you and not making you dependent on the group, then go ahead. If at any time the leader of the organization would make it something like only my fix is the only fix, or, you know, this is the only way to enlightenment or whatever, whenever it's exclusive that way, I would say that's a red flag. Whenever they say, you know, oh, you can't hang out with those people anymore because they're not like us, that would be another red flag. But it's I do understand that there's a lot of gain to be received from working with others of like mind. It's just that one has to be very wary because the group dynamic, I think, is the most one of the most aberrated, you know, it's like the most damaged on the planet. And they very, very easily fall by the wayside and become something else. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. How's that? Power corrupts and complete power corrupts completely.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, so...
Yeah, I think it's power over others, because the new paradigm is not about power over others. It's about power, inner power, you know, the ability to do, you know, so.
And speaking of the new paradigm, how far do you see us along this new paradigm? Are we halfway there? Are we there? Or...
This is really cool that you asked that, because as far as I'm concerned, we're there. It's just that a lot of the people are still asleep. So we continue with an illusion of it not being there, right? Mm. However, and I like the name of your website, The 100th Monkey, because this is very much what a lot of the work that we're doing is about. It's about bringing The 100th Monkey into line, you know, about waking them up that little bit more as individuals on the planet, the people on the planet. And then we're going to reach a critical mass where it's going to be just an explosion and there will be nobody asleep. I mean, obviously, there will be different levels of awakeness, right? Somebody will be on a slumber, but at least they won't be comatose anymore. And others will be that little bit more awake. And I see it everywhere. You know, it's like I see the awakening happening in the everyday life. Of course, it's been hidden. It's not in the news. It's not being talked about. People try to push it down. But even the fact that something like the video The Secret came out, even though it was hijacked into just like ego things or body things, it's still a huge input into the collective because it teaches people they can manifest. And that's one of the biggest secrets that the elite don't want you to know, is that you can actually manifest the life that you want.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want us to learn about that. They don't want us to know how to do it, right? So even at that level, because the manifestation that happens the quickest is when you're aligned with your mission, and once you're aligned with your mission, you remove fear out of the equation, fear of loss or fear of not being able to accomplish it, then you start manifesting like crazy. You know, it's like all these synchronistic events start happening and everything just falls into place. And everything that you need for your life, your needs and body things that you need to survive and stuff, and not just survive, but live well.
Right.
Everything comes into place. The people that you need to be working with, the situations, the information, everything just starts popping in very quickly.
Fantastic. Yeah, we are nearing the top of the hour already, and
wow.
I can't believe this time has gone so fast.
Yes.
I want to ask one last question before we get your information and where people can get a hold of you and everything. And I've been asking this of quite a few guests here recently. As above, so below. Looking out at the world with all the ugly, controlling, compartmentalized societal structure and earth changes Guy is going through, and then looking at the multi dimensions and all these beings existing on these different planes and dimensions, are there similar changes going on those other dimensions and with those other beings at this time too?
The different dimensions aspect would be different. So it's quite wide because there's different dimensions of existence as well as different dimensions of, for example, the time-space experience, but within this 3D world construct. So I would say within the 3D construct, but outside of the linear time-space, there are lots of things happening with other species and planets, right? That Some of it reflects very clearly on the planet. For example, there will be other species who are very hierarchical, who are very materialistic, who are there just for profit. And there's other species who are into the power over others, who enslave and stuff like that. And they actually do exist and live not in such a strict linear time as we do, which is very, very limited. And they have had a hand in how we experience this planet as a species. But with regards to other dimensions, and this is where it gets really broad and the vocabulary kind of becomes lacking,
right.
Simply because to separate dimensions is just a construct to be able to speak about them. Because within oneness, we actually exist within all of the dimensions, right? Every dimension, and their dimensions are infinite, as are we. And with regards to the dimensions, when the person becomes more aware, they can sense the others. So we would really have to be more specific when we talk about other dimensions. If it's, for example, an experience of the astral. I know in the astral there's a lot of stuff going on. Is there experience of what people call the fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh, eighth?
Well, I guess what I'm trying to get at here, mm-hmm. is this a source-wide event that's happening? I know we see things linearly, and that's not necessarily the way things actually work. But is there an event, a major change happening, or is this just another part of the constant change that's always going on?
No, this is major. This is major, and that's why so many beings or species have sent people here to both help with the shift, as we sometimes call it, and also to experience it. It's something that one of the ways that I see it is that this level of experience as a singularity or as a soul, as a person, is very rich. I mean, people talk about this place being very special, and it is, because the levels of mix of genetic material being DNA, which is multidimensional itself, has been so rich that when something affects this collective on the planet, it's also going to affect the collective that DNA came from originally, which is a lot of other species and planets, right? And so when we as a species, move on or move into our next level of awareness, we're going to pull with us a ton of other entities and species with us, like into that new level of awareness.
Hmm.
Do you see the connection there?
Yeah. I do. Yeah. Okay, well, we're running out of time, and we can continue this in our second hour here. Anelia, where can people – am I pronouncing that right, Anelia?
Inelia, yes.
Inelia, okay.
I've corrected his pronunciation several times.
I'm horrible with that. Actually, I'm better than Ramon, I think, but when it comes to Latin names, he has me down pat. So.
Right.
So where can people get a hold of your material? And you mentioned you had a couple books out.
Yes, everything can be found in my website. There's a ton of information there and tools. It's called ascension101.com. So if you go there and just browse around, there's loads of stuff to use. And there's also a contact form if anybody wants to.
You also do private sessions?
Not anymore. Yeah, I had to stop because I was actually dedicating. I was doing one session per day because I would dedicate about 4 hours per person, and it was just very time consuming. I was able to do it while I wasn't doing a lot of public work or collective work. But now that it's moved into a very collective level. I'm just working to put more information out there and more tools and making some videos and things to put on YouTube that people can use so that it reaches thousands of people rather than just the one individual per day. And that's basically the only reason why I'm not doing sessions anymore.
Okay.
It's just a time constraint.
What are some of the things you and Bill are doing soon?
Well, at the moment, we're not doing anything together. We have been working together for the past few months. We put out the interview that you saw. That's been extremely effective. There's loads, I mean, thousands of people have written in saying it was transformative just watching it, you know. It didn't matter what was being said, really. But, and others that have talked about how they're the same as myself, and it was so good to know that there was at least one more person out there exactly like them. And others just waking up to their mission, you know. Just all of a sudden they realize this is what I'm here to do. And so that's been extremely effective. We've also written a couple of articles. With one of them is a tool that people can use, which is basically that thing that I described about just looking at something or focusing on something and moving out of the way and letting source come through, right? And how the mechanics behind that works. And we did a seminar in Vilcabamba together, but we don't have any plans to do any more seminars. At the moment, we're both working on our own side, because we, as individuals, we also do a lot of work. So we're both doing our individual work, and then in the future, if there's other opportunities for us to do more work together, we'll definitely be doing that, and we'll be announcing that on our websites.
Fantastic.
Yeah. It's great to hear.
Okay, well, I want to thank everybody for listening to this first hour, and stay tuned for Brooks's show right after us, and then pop on over to the archives and listen to the second hour. We are having I'm enjoying the heck out of this show. So,
yeah, which is www.the100thmonkeyradio.com.
Yeah, and condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance, and we love you guys.
Bye.